Good evening and welcome back to Mass Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask mothers and fathers align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, rehab, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to and show. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight's show, I've been waiting to have on a dear friend, a colleague, Rifki Boyarski. I want to welcome you on. We've been trying to get you on for the longest time, but I know you pulled in so many different directions. Welcome tonight. Thank you for making the time. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, it's such a pleasure to be here. This is such an important conversation, and I'm so happy that we're having this.
So, Rifki, you do education, women's health, and so many other things. I'd like my listeners to hear directly from you what you've been involved with for so long now.
So I started off working in this community as a nurse, and through Hashem's hand, for sure, I then became a Kala teacher. And as a Kala teacher and a nurse, I noticed that there were gaps in knowledge for our women, and I tried to address it at the space where I was at, which is talking to women directly. And then as my daughter started growing up, and as I became a midwife as well, I started really focusing on the puberty education part of it, because I noticed that a lot of our women, a lot of our very, very firm women who want to do the right thing and are living really, really Torah-aligned lives, were searching for puberty education, and there just wasn't adequate education within our communities. And so unfortunately, they were going outwards and finding non-Jewish sources for their puberty education. And when I looked at those sources, they were not something I wanted to share with my daughter. And so for the past 3 years, I've been very focused on puberty education and making sure both parents and schools and the girls themselves have access to quality Torah-aligned puberty education.
Well, thank you. And you are very sought after. Schools call you all the time to do programs. And you've done programs for MASC with our after-school programs that we have. So why don't you explain to my listeners, what is puberty education, please?
Sure. So puberty education is actually when we focus on the needs of our teens and our preteens as they start taking control of their own health and well-being. And so when we are kind of handing over the things that we've been micromanaging as parents from when they're very, very little, when we start giving them ownership of their bodies and we start giving them ownership of their social skills and we start giving them ownership of their emotional health, and we kind of give them the reins to then come to us and talk to us, and we're obviously still being there as support, but to kind of take ownership of the process as they grow into adulthood.
And it's so important that parents actually have a conversation with their loved ones, their children, because otherwise they're going to learn it on their own and they may not learn it the right way. So, I mean, can you explain why it's so important, and typically what age do you like to start that conversation?
So I want to preface this with really sharing that puberty education, a lot of times people think of it as like I'm having that all important one conversation with my kid. And I want to preface what I'm about to tell you with: your puberty conversation is actually not a one-time conversation. And for most parents, you've actually started this conversation way back when you gave your 3-year-old a bath and you said, here's the soap. Now I want to watch you wash your body. And because your body is private and your body is yours, I want you to be able to wash the private parts of your body yourself. So we've already started the education way back by simply naming body parts. These are your hands. These are your feet. These are, you know, this is private. This is not private. So we've started parts of this conversation ongoing. The social emotional part of it. We've absolutely had conversations with our third graders and our fourth graders about, hey, what's the social dynamic? And, you know, mommy's always here to have these conversations. But as our girls and our boys hit puberty, they start to develop a deeper sense of self. They start to see who they are in their inner emotional space. They start to see who they are in their social space, which becomes so important to teenagers. They start to take ownership of taking care of their body. They start to question, you know, the messages that they're getting about their body from their schools, from the books that they're reading, from the publications around them, from their parents, from their aunts, from their uncles, etc. They start to question and take ownership of all the different parts of who they are. And so it's really important to have more concentrated, really practical conversations with our daughters and our sons again and again throughout this time. Now, it's also very important to understand a very unique position we have as from mothers. A lot of us, myself included, may not have had the conversations we want to have with our children. And I watch mothers all the time. And actually, Ruhama, I learned this from you, because I was, until I started working with you, I was talking directly to the girls. And one of the things you told me, which I am like not negotiable about now because I see the value so much, is I always talk to the parents first. When a school brings me out, I always tell them, I'm not going to talk to your girls unless I talk to the mothers first, because the mothers might have a much, not might, absolutely have a much deeper impact on their daughter than the 45 minute, 1 hour, or even yearly conversation I'm going to have with their daughters. The mothers are the ones who are going to help their daughters develop their sense of self. They're going to be the address that the girls come back to. And that's super important. So one of the things that I've learned from you, Ruhama, is to always have that initial conversation with the mothers and empower the mothers to continue the 45 minute, 1 hour conversation I'm having with the girls. One of the things that I tell the mothers is that if this conversation makes you uncomfortable, even if you tell your daughter, you have to be comfortable, this is so important, this is Hashem's body, and you know, this is a Torah aligned thing. But if you're feeling uncomfortable, your feelings of uncomfortability are going to come across much stronger than the words that you're saying. If your daughter watches you stand in front of the mirror and like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ate that muffin. Like, even if you tell her, you know, your body is beautiful, take care of it, it's exactly perfect, they're absorbing your message that you're giving them in the deepest sense. And it goes, this was just an example, but it goes in every other area. So if you're having a conversation about your daughter, about periods, and you're uncomfortable, you're having a conversation with your daughter about how she's going to start taking ownership about her growth and development and her personal hygiene, and you're uncomfortable with the conversation, what's going to come across is that uncomfortability. So I always tell mothers, yes, we're changing the script a little bit. We're going back to where things really are, which is Tyra wants us to talk about this. And if you go back to to Rabbanim, and I tell schools that are on the fence about having this conversation, I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Always speak to your Das Torah. And if they say that this is something important, which across the board, they always come back with, yes, absolutely, this is important, and we'll talk about why. Then you have to then make sure that you are bringing forth the positivity in this conversation. You're bringing forth the Torah perspective in this conversation, which is that Hashem created your body in the most beautiful and amazing way. And we need to take ownership to take care of our body. We have your social self and your emotional self is all here to create it because Hashem wants it in this world. And we need to take care of it in the most Torah aligned way. And so think about what your biases are. Think about why you're uncomfortable, and then practice this conversation with a sister, with a friend who's going through it, with your husband, in front of yourself, with the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure that when you're going into this conversation with your daughter, you feel comfortable, because that's the strongest message that your daughter is going to get, that she's entering this beautiful and amazing stage that's preparing her for the most important role in her life, which is to be a Jewish wife and a Jewish mother and someone who's going to raise the next generation of Jewish holy souls in Am Yisrael.
Well, thank you, Rivki. When does the education begin with your program?
So I start talking to girls in fifth or sixth grade, and I know mothers who are listening might say, "Oh my gosh, my daughter's in fifth grade. She's so young. She has no idea." So it is entirely possible that your daughter is so young and she does have no idea. But when I'm approached by schools, I always recommend the fifth grade age, and I'll explain to you why. Your daughter might not be there yet, but it is extremely common in today's day and age for fifth graders to have their periods. It's extremely common for fifth graders to start doing the other parts of growth and development that happen before you reach that part of puberty. And so it's important that we reach all of our daughters and all of our girls. It is also important that your daughter's not taken by surprise, because that can add a level of anxiety and panic and uncomfortability with the process. So when we are able to frame this entire process of puberty and growth and development in a positive way, our daughters will go through puberty, growth, and development and have this positive, amazing relationship with themselves, because we've given them all the facts. Now it's important that we give the facts in the most factual, non-emotional manner. Like, this is not, riddled with layers of whatever our own baggage is. It's facts. This is how you take care of yourself. This is why Hashem wants you to take care of yourself. This is how you're going to, manage the social spaces. This is what happens when someone's struggling emotionally, and sometimes that has to do with the different changes that happen in our lives as we go through puberty. And these are all the types of conversations we're going to want to have. So I definitely start the conversation in schools in fifth grade. Or sixth grade, depending on the school, but usually schools opt for the fifth grade age. And I go back into a lot of schools, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. I have different presentations for every single school. And the schools look at the presentations beforehand and adjust based on their own hashkafas and social needs and the needs of their school, especially the smaller schools where they know their girls rather intimately.
So let's go back to the parent discussion. And like you said, go in front of a mirror, practice with your spouse. But can you offer some language that a parent can start the conversation with their child?
Absolutely. So the first conversation is always going to be on their growth and development. Ruchama, I'm going to use, I guess, Lashon Nakiyah as much as possible. And I want to be sensitive to the needs of everyone, but I do think that there, and again, please consult with your Das Tyra on this one. In this particular show, I'm not going to use specific words, but I think that there is value, and please again consult with your Das Tyra. I think that there is value to your daughter at least knowing appropriate medical terminology for her body parts, so that if chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila, something is wrong, she has the words to share with you what's happening and with which body part. If chas v'shalom, something is wrong and she doesn't even have a name to share with you, it will take that much longer to get the help that she needs. So I am personally, and speaking to Rabbanim, I am a big proponent of at least having some language, whether it's the medical language, whether it's the Torah language, whether it's something that is directly and specifically named for each body part. And I would start with that. I would start with, as we grow and as we mature, puberty actually starts with our head, with our brain. And this is the conversation that I start off with. It starts with your brain. Hashem says, okay, your body's starting to grow and develop. When you're a little girl, your body is just like everyone else's. It's the same. And then as you grow and you develop, there are messengers in your brain called hormones. These are chemical messengers that tell your body, hey, guess what? You're starting to wake up. Different parts of your body are starting to grow and develop. And as you're going to grow up and you're going to be in that in-between stage between a woman and a girl, your body's going to slowly develop into that body of a woman. The first change that's going to happen is that your chest is going to change. That part of your body is the first test, and mothers should know that that actually happens 1 to 2 years before anything else like a period happens. So you need to, like, that's a really good first step for mothers to look out, because it's actually an outward sign of puberty that you can notice. Things that girls often want to talk about and mothers often overlook is the fact that your sweat changes, your skin changes is actually something that mothers are really comfortable discussing and girls are really open to discussing. But hair on your body, if hair grows somewhere where your mother didn't tell you that it was possible and you don't have access to information, you might think something's wrong with you. And so that's something that I would really encourage mothers to bring up. Stretch marks. If girls go through puberty really, really, really fast, they can get stretch marks much the same way as a pregnant woman would. And that could be like throwing a girl for a loop. She could think something's wrong with her body, and absolutely nothing is wrong with her body. These type of things are very important. The styles of clothing that they're used to wearing might have to change because their body changes. And if we frame all of these things into the beauty of, guess what? You're becoming a Jewish woman. You're going to be a wonderful, beautiful Jewish mother and wife one day. And that's why your hips are changing. And that's why your stomach is getting softer. And that's why all these beautiful parts of your body are changing. We are framing this in a really, really positive light. I would absolutely also encourage mothers to take actual products and show the girls options. Show them how it works. Show them when to clean it, when to change it, when to wash things. These practical bits of advice do have to be repeated again and again, not just for girls who have executive functioning issues or may have like ADHD or other things that might hold them back from, you know, keeping to a hygiene routine or to keeping to, you know, some sort of regimented process, but it's a skill. It's a skill to learn to take care of yourself, even for someone who's not neurodivergent in any sort of way. And so it's really important to go through these processes, not just once. It's not a one-time conversation, to go through it again. Hey, I'm checking in. How are we doing? What's happening? Do you need me to show you again? Do you want me to work this through with you? Is there any concerns? How are we doing? These are things that we want to keep checking in. Also, I want to really, really encourage mothers to understand that different daughters have different personalities. And so one daughter might be like, oh yeah, whatever, it's not a big deal. Another daughter might really struggle with a conversation. That doesn't mean, oh my gosh, maybe there's trauma, maybe something happened. It could just be a personality. So what I generally encourage mothers to do is to figure out another way to have the conversation. Maybe this daughter would be more comfortable journaling, and you could pass a notebook back and forth where you ask a prompt and you talk about a topic. Maybe this daughter would feel more comfortable if you got ice cream and then went on a walk, or went in the car, or sat around the kitchen table when everyone else was out of the room or out of the house or already asleep. Or your daughter might need a different form of the same conversation that a different child has. And it's very important to really pay attention to what our daughter's needs are. Lastly, I want to also bring up that different girls, and just as different humans, have different levels of privacy that they need. So if your housekeeper is washing everyone's clothes and hanging things up, or she's sharing a closet with her little sister, she might want certain things put away differently. And out of respect to her needs as she grows up and gets more comfortable, it is important to take those things into account and to really, really discuss that with her as well.
Well, thank you. But you brought up the different types of girls there may be. Let's talk about different types of moms there may be. And there may be parents that really are uncomfortable with this topic because they never discussed it with anyone growing up. What
that
then?
That happens more often and in more communities than you would imagine. I think that sometimes we kind of think that that's very community specific, but I actually see that all across the board. I even see that with my non-Jewish patients. I just think that it's normal for parents to be uncomfortable. And if they are uncomfortable, I think for us as from Yidden, we always have to go back to what does Torah say? And the reality of the situation is I deal in my work, I deal with Rabbanim and Dayunim in different communities. And I think it always surprises people with the Torah perspective of how Torah thinks that this is the most important discussion to have, because it does affect marriages. If we're comfortable in our bodies, we're able to keep Taras Mishpacha better. We're able to be in healthier marriages together. We're able to troubleshoot things that are happening later on. And we're able to take care of ourselves as we go through life. We're able to take care of ourselves through a pregnancy. We're able to take care of ourselves through chas v'shalom, that should never happen to anyone, fertility issues. We're able to take care of ourselves so that we become the best version of ourselves in this specific area. And so you might be uncomfortable, but I want you to think for a second about A, what the tarot perspective is. And the tarot does not shy away from any of these discussions. It's not a lack of sneers to have these discussions. It would be a lack of sneers to discuss it around your dining room table with your teenage boys around or your younger children around or whatever, but it's absolutely not a lack of sneers to discuss this with your child. I also want to remind you that you're giving your daughter a gift. You're giving your daughter a gift of being able to access the holiest, most important role that she's about to step into in her future. And that's a really, really beautiful thing. And I really, Ruhama, I want to say as a midwife, and as a bodekas, and as a college teacher and a community educator, I have absolutely seen women suffer through years and years and years of something because A, they didn't have the language. B, they thought it was not sneeze to discuss. And at 50, 60 years old to come back, it really, it does break my heart. And I think it's a really beautiful thing when I have that woman then hear from a Rav about how important these discussions are and how, you know, it's really empowering to her. And it's really empowering to her to get to a point where she can get, you know, the support that she does need.
Absolutely. Rivki, we're talking a lot about girls. Let's focus on boys now, please.
So I love that we're turning the tables. And I think boys really do deserve this discussion as well. I would say that there are halakhic ramifications to, especially speaking to from boys. And I would tread a little bit more carefully. I'm often asked, Rivki, like, especially in, you know, more quote unquote open-minded schools, like, would you talk to the boys or the father? And I, absolutely not. Like, I think that that's, for me personally, something I would never do. I also want to let mothers know that there are definitely halakhic ramifications to puberty in boys, and it does have to be discussed because boys do honestly get just as overwhelmed with the bodily changes, maybe more so than girls, because they really sometimes feel like there's no one who's discussing it outside maybe one or two sentences that would happen within the framework of yeshiva or school. And so I really do want to encourage you to encourage your husbands or the from a medical provider in your life to at least have a self-care talk with your boys. I want to, Ruhama, also just turn the conversation for a second before we're done. And I know we don't have a huge amount of time, but I want to turn, we spoke a lot about the physical and the religious part of things, but I also want to talk about the mental health portion of puberty, both for boys and for girls. And I do want to tell you that I also talk to the girls, not a lot, in bite-sized pieces, about the struggles that sometimes happen in puberty with mental health changes. So I do think that it is important for our sons and daughters and ourselves to at least know the large overarching points of when we would be concerned about things like anxiety or depression or social issues within the classroom or within their, you know, framework. Even things just letting our kids know that if Chas V'Shalom, one of your friends are suffering, know that you're not the right address. Know that you have to come to me. I'm here to help you. It's not a breach of your trust for your friend. Or come to me if you're struggling. I'm never going to judge you. I'm never going to think something's wrong with you. I'm here to help you and support you. And because ultimately we want to raise our next generation of Yidden to be healthy mind, body, and soul.
Thank you. Very important message. Rivki, I just want to say that people always approach me. I mean, I'm doing this 27 years, mask, over 120 some thousand families that I've spoken with. And I'm involved in so many different coalitions and school meetings, etc. And I know you're so involved with the yeshiva schools. I think it's important you to say what your feelings are about the growth that the yeshiva system has come to in reference to bringing in mental health speakers, more therapists, accepting the help from professionals, including having you there. Years ago, that would not have been a thing. So I think we all need to recognize that we are moving along with the school system in a positive way to help families with their mental health struggles.
I agree, and I think that's not in a small part due to people like you, Rahama, who saw a need and just stood up and said, Hineni, I'm here and I'm going to do it. And I think that no one who's listening should think that they're too small to create a change in their own individual community or in their own individual school.
Thank you. Rifki, let's talk about any books or resources for the parents or even the young adults, the teenagers. Can you offer? Please.
Yes. So I will say that I am at the tail end of writing a book that I think is going to fill a need that isn't currently in the Jewish community. I do want to caution parents really and truly, even if every single one of your friends say that they've used the Gaisha book, please, please, please don't use them. I promise you there are subtle messages there that are not beneficial to your kids of Avodas Hashem. There are books that are good. There is the Blue Book, The Wonder of Becoming You. It's a toss-up. Some people love it. Some people love it less. Moms, absolutely read a book before you give it to your daughter. There's also a book called Heart to Heart. Heart to Heart is period specific. It does not talk about all the other changes that happen. It's cute. It's light. It's short. It's a wonderful and beautiful book. And it's a really great way to just start this conversation.
Wow. There's so much more we can talk about with this, but I want you just, before we have a minute left, and that is just give chizuk to that mother that is listening tonight to the show and is ready to sit down with her young adult.
I want to tell that mother that Hashem gave you your child because you are the perfect parent for that child. You might not get it right all the time, and you might have to redo the conversation, but that's okay. Hashem wanted you as the parent for that child. And all you're obligated to do is to show up and try. So if you are the mother to that child, do your best, and your best is good enough. So keep learning, keep growing, and absolutely show up, even if it isn't perfect.
Well, thank you so much, Rifki. I know how busy you are. Anyone that wants to reach out to Rifki Boyarsky, please give me a call, and I personally will make sure that Rifki gets back to you at 718-758-0400. Thank you for coming on, Rifki.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Tonight's show is in honor of all the Chayalim. Bring the hostages home. Now, thank you. Please go online and donate at maskparents.org so we can continue with all the mask programs. Thank you and have a good night.
This is Meir Shalom Gertner, Vice President and Director of the Har Shalom Cemetery. Are you tired of the sky-high burial costs? Har Shalom Cemetery understands your concerns. We were founded on the principle of providing affordable, dignified burial options for our community. As the largest Hamish-owned and operated cemetery in the tri-state area located in Muncie, we offer peace of mind and a segula for longevity, Arichas Yomim, when you purchase a plot. No more worrying about any downtime. Har Shalom offers 24/6 burial services or visits to loved ones. Gates are open and only closed on Shabbos, with no hidden fees or overtime charges, so night and weekends are no longer a problem for burials. Plus, take advantage of our special rates for family and larger plots. We also have our own Chevre Kadisha covering the entire East Coast, including Florida. Har Shalom is a beautiful, well-designed place, plenty of parking all around the cemetery to make it easy for visitors to reach their loved ones. Planning for the future shouldn't be so stressful. Let Har Shalom take care of you. Call us today at 845-400-2227, extension 100. That's 845-400-2227, extension 100, or at hscny.org. Thank you for listening.
Are you interested in hosting your own radio show and podcast, or perhaps a TV program? TalkLine Network can help you get on the air from 1 hour weekly to 24 hours a day. Ideal for ethnic, foreign language, medical, business, and religious broadcasting. We also have full-time radio stations for lease, as well as FM HD channels. For more information, please call 212-769-1925. That's 212-769-1925. Or email zevbrenner@gmail.com.